Hey there, and thanks for checking out episode 7 of the Eyes Free Sports Podcast. Once again, it's your host here with you, Greg Lindberg, and I know we're all in the midst of this whole coronavirus COVID-19 situation really around the world, so I thought it would be really interesting to have a personal trainer on the Eyes Free Sports Podcast to just give us some quick tips, tricks, simple things that you can do in terms of exercise and physical activity right in the comfort of your own home. And so here we go with episode 7. All right, so joining me now on the Eyes Free Sports Podcast is someone I consider a friend who I've known for several years now through the Florida Council of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind. And she is also a certified aerobics instructor and personal trainer. And her name is Leslie Spoon. Leslie, welcome to the Eyes Free Sports Podcast.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you for having me on. It's an honor to be on your podcast, so very excited to be on and talk about sports, which is near and dear to my heart also, like yourself. So thank you.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this, you know, during this whole coronavirus situation and such an unusual time for everybody.
It really is. It's crazy times, you know, and we all have to just kind of stay positive and be upbeat, which is, you know, some days are good and some days are not so good. So, you know, anything you can do just to enlighten your life and have a good time, have a positive outlook on life, so...
Definitely. Those are very well, you know, wise words right there. So speaking of, you know, this whole situation going on right now, really on a global level, I just wanted to have you on to talk about, you know, some of the things that blind and visually impaired individuals can do in their homes, you know, without the need of any kind of special exercise equipment or, you know, the need to order anything. So let's just kind of start with the basics here.
One thing you can do, I mean, which is really easy, everybody has a floor in their house, so and if you have a mat, you can grab a mat and you can lay down on the floor. You can do crunches, old-fashioned sit-ups that we call them abdominal crunches, now you don't call them sit-ups anymore. Also, you can do some yoga poses while you're down there too, you know, which is great. And then you can do old-fashioned, remember in the day, Greg, I don't know if, I'm a little older than you, but remember back in the day, we used to lay on our side and do the leg lifts. You lifted the leg, you know, like your legs were stacked on one another.
Screen day.
You lifted the top leg for leg lifts.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm dating myself a little, but, you know, those are great. You don't need anything. Even if you have some weights, you know, if you do have some ankle weights, you can put some ankle weights around your ankles. If not, you know, just do them without it and, you know, do a couple sets of those and then, you know, switch sides to the other side because you always want to be equally, you know, do each side. You don't want to do just one side and then forget about the other side. So.
Exactly, yeah.
The other thing I would say is if you have soup cans, you can do bicep curls with soup cans. You can do shoulder raises. You can do anything with the upper body with soup cans. And we all probably have soup cans right now, you know, from going to the grocery store.
Right.
If you don't have any weights in your house or any of the resistance bands or anything like that. So these are some easy, you know, easy tools. I have taught some of my friends that can't come over right now because they don't have weights because they come to my house. And in these times, they can't come over, so I've told them to get their soup cans out and start doing either bicep curls or tricep kickbacks or, you know, shoulder raises, those particular things for your upper body.
Exactly, yeah. And it is kind of funny, just, you know, random objects around the house that you wouldn't necessarily think of, you know, that
right.
You could use that actually can be of benefit for just things like this.
Right. And balls, if you have any tennis balls or if you have a, I don't know, you remember the Pokemon balls years ago?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
If you have any balls like that, you can use a ball and you can do exercises with the ball. You can do what I was doing with my friends. I have a group of 6 ladies that come over to my house every day and do exercises with me and work out with me. That used to come to my gym. I had a women's gym for 5 years in my shopping center. So they have become my friends and they come over every day. We work out from 9 to 11. And what we just started doing was tennis balls. We got tennis balls and we were doing waist exercises with tennis balls. So those are really cool. You can like really work your love handles, you know, like throw the ball, not big, not hard or anything, but throw the ball from one side to the other side. So I don't know, being visually impaired, if that would work, but if you have low vision and you can still see the tennis ball, you know, you could, you don't have to necessarily throw, you can just switch from hand to hand, and so that you're twisting your from your waist.
Exactly, yeah. Now, how about, like, you know, jumping jacks or more, maybe,
definitely,
you know?
Definitely jumping jacks if you want to get some cardio going. Jumping jacks, squats, those are good. March in place. You know, also just take a simple fashion walk outside if you can get outside in your neighborhood, or if you have a guide dog and you have to, you know, work that guide dog because it's not working as well, you know, working as much right now. Walk in the neighborhood's great. Jumping jacks are great. Running in place, marching. Even step touching, which is side to side, step touching, you know, you put one foot out and the other foot meets the other foot. So step touching is great, you know, stuff like that. It's wonderful. Balance is always good, too.
Definitely, yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about yoga, and I know there's so many different types of yoga, and I know you have taught, you know, for instance, chair yoga, if you could just explain how that works.
Definitely, yeah. So I teach very easy chair yoga, and I'm doing some phone Zoom calls April 2nd, April 9th, that Cindy Van Winkle's put a calendar together for people that are homebound right now, you know, because of the virus, and so, my first one will be April 2nd at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it'll be on the calendar. But yeah, what you do is you just need a chair. Particularly, you know, you can do one with arms, but if you have one without arms, that's good. And we just do, you know, some poses with the chair, easy yoga poses and warrior poses, and so it's going to be exciting and just a way to de-stress and get some relaxation going at these amazingly hard times for people.
Definitely, no doubt. And I know just in addition to obviously physical benefits of yoga, I mean, there's so many mental benefits just for mood and for all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, it's so great. I mean, and then if you can, after the, even in the chair, if you can't get on the floor, if you just close your eyes and meditate, you know, for, you know, like 20 minutes and just don't think about anything, it's really, really wonderful, you know, and then, in the day and just, you know, really get the heart chakras down and to where you want to be and just think about how blessed we all really are. You know, there's so many people in these times that don't even have a home or can't get food or anything. So, you know, it seems like a really bad time for all of us right now, but, you know, social media has really helped and reaching out to friends and making sure they're okay. And we'll all get through this and we'll all go back to normal life eventually.
No doubt, yeah. And I know just personally myself, you know, I am working remotely now for this university I work for, you know, since this has all happened. And in some ways, it's given me more opportunities to at least get up, move around, walk a little, things I normally wouldn't do in the office. And, you know,
right,
so I'm kind of looking at that as a benefit, you know.
Yeah, and that's a plus. I mean, we all, even when we go back to our normal lives, quote normal, I think if we can all add a little 5 to 10 minutes of either chair yoga or walking around our desk or marching in place just to get the body going, you know, it doesn't take much. You know, you can do a little walk a couple times a day, march in place, just to get the heart rate up, you know.
Exactly, yeah. I know you have taught many visually impaired and blind individuals, you know, in your work, and I'm curious, what kind of advice or tips and tricks would you have, you know, someone who might not be as experienced at, you know, different exercises, just to know that they can be safe and that they really can, you know, do some of these things, and just what would you tell that individual?
I would just say start slow. Don't get discouraged. You know, if you're brand new at working out and you never have done it, and now you're home and you want to start. Like I said, I'm going to have some sessions on the Zoom. People can always reach out to me and I can ask, you know, I can tell them what they're doing, you know, they verbally, you know, I'd say start slow, march, walk. Of course, you don't want to start, if you've never run, don't start running right away.
Right.
Pull a hamstring or,
yeah,
you know, tear any muscles. So, and if you have your own pool and you feel safe of getting in, you know, by yourself or with your spouse or somebody that you trust, that, you know, swimming is wonderful. Aqua aerobics, you know, it's so wonderful. I teach that also. I love my aqua aerobics. you don't feel any pain.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I would just say start slow, if I could say anything. Start slow and don't overdo. Start off, don't do a half hour if it's your first time. Do maybe 10 to 15 minutes of something, you know, break, and then, you know, increase it every day until you get up to that hour that you want to go to. I'm a crazy workout person. I work out a couple times a day, so.
Wow.
I love it. You know, it's in my blood. So I have been teaching for 22 years, so, you know, I just love it. So
yeah,
it's crazy for me. So not to have my friends come over and teach them, it's kind of been a bummer for me right now. But, you know, like I said, we will all get through this, and I've been teaching them over the phone what to do and stuff. So
right.
You know.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head, I mean, I'm sure there are some techniques, you know, someone using a white cane, you know, whether it's just walking outside or even certain exercises they could use to just kind of stabilize themselves or...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, many times when I've been to ACB conventions and worked out in the workout rooms, and I don't know the layout very well in the beginning, I'll just take my cane and do squats with my cane, hold on to my cane and do squats. You know, or do a low impact jack. If I don't want the intensity of a high pack jack, a low impact jack is just putting one foot out to the side like a squat, a deeper squat, and then you do the other foot for another squat. You know, so that's basically a jumping jack. And then if you want to add the intensity, you just do the normal jumping jack. You know.
Right.
So your cane is a wonderful tool. I've used it many times for balance, you know, to stand on one leg, you know, to do kickback, you know, with my leg, like, and, you know, so it's great. Canes are wonderful tools.
Yeah, once again, kind of like the soup cans, you know, orientation, mobility instructors train us, you know, to, as far as getting around, and, but there's so many other uses you could use that cane for, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then if you want to even increase the intensity, maybe if you have a spouse that's visually impaired, our friend that's visually impaired, you know, take two canes and try and jump between them, you know, jump over one and jump over the other one, you know.
Yeah.
If you have enough low vision, if not, you know, if it's too much, you can always walk over the, you know, in between the canes. But just like a little game, make a game out of everything. I think that's what we really don't take the time to really understand is working out is fun. If you make it fun, it's not like, oh, my God, I got to go work out, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know it's, in general, you know, the blind and visually impaired community tends to be more sedentary, and I think a lot of people have that mindset when they hear a workout or exercise. It's like, there's no way, it's impossible. But I mean, you've just, you know, in the short time we've been talking already, you've given so many simple things to just get started, get moving, you know, nothing too crazy, and that you can really kind of build on over time.
Over the years, I mean, I have taught everything from kickbox to steps. I mean, this is you're much younger than me, but in the day we used to do step. I don't know if you ever heard of step. It was on a box and you stepped up and down and had risers under. And I taught. Oh my God, I taught step for so many years when I could see it better, you know. And kickboxing, and then I taught cycling. So I've taught it all. So you know, it's interesting and. You know, there's easy, now I'm down to, because I don't have any sight hardly at all, but so now I'm down to the easy, simple, and still want to do get my workout in, you know, a good, intense workout, but it's, you know, you doesn't have to be, you know, kick your butt and not want to do it the next day.
Exactly, yeah. And then let's just talk, like, in general terms, you know, if someone is, whether they're blind, visually impaired or not, you know, how often should a person be working out, say, every week? What would you recommend?
Okay, well, a normal person, not a crazy person like me. You might want to do it every other day, like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday thing, or a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday thing. I do it 6 days a week, so, and then take one off. But that's me, I'm crazy. But if you're starting off, I'd say do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Do it at the same time, so you have a set schedule. So if you want to do it like 11 o'clock in the morning, you get up and, you know, get up and eat your breakfast and hydrate and make sure you do all those wonderful things. And then do your workout at 11, and you know that's when your workout's going to happen. And And if you are starting out, do 5 or 10 minutes and don't be upset with yourself, because you know it's going to be the first time that you're doing it, or it's the first time you're doing it, you're getting back into it. You know, we all make these New Year's resolutions for the new year, and then we don't keep them up, you know, like after 3 months they're gone.
So. Yep.
Yeah, so that's what I would say, you know.
Gotcha. And do you recommend, I know they, some people say it's better to work out in the morning, first thing, before breakfast, you know, or even in the evening or midday. Is there a certain time that you recommend?
I personally think that's up to the person. I personally like to see, I work out in the morning, and then I work out in the afternoon, and then I sometimes work out in the evening. So I, a couple of times myself.
Right.
It's up to the individual. Some people, if they have diabetes, they probably need to eat and hydrate, and then they could work out, you know. So it just really depends on your own body and your own schedule. You know, just the most important thing I would say is make sure if you're going to do it at a specific time that you kind of keep that time if you're just starting out, because you can slide easily. You know, you can make an excuse for anything. So
for sure. You know, yeah.
Yeah. So that's my recommendation. I would just stick with the time. If you're going to stick it, you know, I'm going to do it at 11, then make sure you really do it at 11. You go, 12's come along, I haven't worked out. So, you know, and if things get crazy in your life and you don't do your time and you skip that day, then you go to the next day, you know, or you do it a different time, and then maybe the next day you go back to try and do the 11. You know, I know things come up in people's lives and schedules change, so...
For sure. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about equipment. You know, if someone has something or maybe was interested in purchasing some type of equipment, you know, specifically someone who is blind or visually impaired, are there certain machines that you recommend or, you know, discourage or just for safety reasons or anything?
Again, I recommend that if you're going to go buy something, I would try it out. When I buy a treadmill or an elliptical, I go try them out. You know, I ask people wherever I buy it, I say, can I get on it? Can you start it for me to see how easy it is, how I feel on it? And then again, I also, because I don't have any vision anymore, I mark it with the Highmark, you know, the puffy paint.
Right.
So I mark my machines with those once I get them back, after I bought them and I get them home, so that I can work the machines. Some of them are much easier now. They're making them more accessible. Not all of them are accessible. I have been to some gyms that they're really accessible, and then I've been to some that are just still the touch screen, and they're hard to work. So
yep.
It just depends, you know, where you're buying your machine, your equipment from. So
right, and I do know the American Council of the Blind has done a lot of advocacy work as far as, you know, pushing for more accessible, you know, workout gym equipment and that kind of thing. And it's, I know there is still quite a challenge out there.
Yeah, and Clark Rackpool is doing a wonderful job, you know, from the ACB office, the Arlington office, with that, with the access, getting the equipment accessible, and working with bills to do that, you know, get bills from the House and the Senate to do this. So hopefully in the future that will happen. I was at leadership conference in D.C. in February, and he had the hotel marked all the equipment in there, all the treadmills and the ellipticals and the bikes, which was wonderful.
Wow.
And they had brailled them all, so all of us could use them that week when we were there in D.C. So.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah,
that's...
it was really cool. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I think a lot of people still don't realize that, you know, a blind or visually impaired person walks into a gym and, you know, at least half of the equipment still has, like you were saying, the touch screens, and someone just, you know, they're real limited if they can't get help from somebody in operating and then really using them, so.
Right, and you don't want to go flying if you're running on a treadmill and then all of a sudden, you know, you can't stop it.
Exactly, that's not a good visual.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
Right,
yeah. I always suggest put that safety thing on, the safety on yourself, so that if that does happen, it goes crazy. Because treadmills have a mind of their own sometimes, you know. So if you have that safety key on you, on your clothes, you pull that safety, and you know, it stops it. So I always tell people that, wear that safety key.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah. Yep.
If some people think they're macho and they don't want to wear it, you know, you've been working out for years, and I'm like, I'm not going to wear that key, and you're like, I put it on just in case, you know.
You never know. That's it. Yeah. I was also going to mention I've had a Fitbit now for over a year that one of the lighthouses for the blind here in the Tampa area actually gave out to some of their clients. Yeah, it's a program through the United States Association of Blind Athletes, and okay. From what I understand, they've distributed several thousand, I guess, in the last year, a year and a half or so, and it is very accessible, you know, the Fitbit app. It's really been a game changer for me, and just seeing how much or how little I am moving, I'm walking as far as steps and you know, distance and calories, active minutes. That's a really important thing to me. Which
that
kind
is
of
so awesome. So is it through your phone, your iPhone, the app?
Yeah, I have the app on my phone, and then I just pairs with the Fitbit on my wrist. So which
that
has
is so cool. I know a friend of mine. She is an avid swimmer, and she got one that could go in the water.
Yeah, mine is similar. It's, you know, I can wear it in the shower or pool, or it's, I don't know about like salt water or certain environments. I'm not quite sure how it would hold up. I've been a little leery
right.
of that, but
well, that is so cool. So you can see how you're doing. You can gauge yourself. And really,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You need to get up and start moving, right?
Right. It gives me some motivation. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to mention that.
That's
wonderful. If anyone, you know, has a Fitbit or, you know, is able to afford one, and that it is, you know, very accessible and as far as the app, and it really can, you know, just empower you in so many ways.
That is really cool. Now, just the Tampa Lighthouse people gave those out?
I think it was actually a national thing. It's several different, you know, lighthouses and rehab centers around the country, from what I understand.
And I believe
I read it was Western Michigan University that was actually studying this data. So I'm in this study. You know, I'm not sure when they plan to release any kind of results or anything, but they're actually studying, you know, the activity levels of blind and visually impaired folks, which I think could just prove so valuable, you know, gleaning.
That's very cool. Yeah, I think it would clear up the stigma of us not moving, because there's a lot of us blind and visually folks that do move, you know, even if it's just to walk the neighborhood, you know, we're not all sedentary, so.
No doubt. Oh, yeah.
Study.
Yeah, and I hope there are more, you know, in the future like that. And like you said, there are, you know, there is that stereotype about blind individuals just kind of sitting around. But, you know, there are more than you would think that that are up moving and working out. And
there's a lot. Like when I go to the conventions, the American Council of the Blind conventions, there's a lot of people in the gym. You know, a lot of us, a lot of the blind and visually impaired folks, you know. And the sighted folks are like, wow, you know, they're kind of taken back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And that's, I mean, I love hearing that and just, you know, people putting themselves out there and showing that, hey, we can do this too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great. It's fun. So.
No doubt.
I think working out, if you make it fun, it is fun. Anything you do in life, you know? And if you're apprehensive about it, you know, try it. What do you say? Try it. You might like it or you might not, you know.
Exactly. You have to at least try. Otherwise, you'll never know.
You'll never know. And again, like I said, start small. Start, just make small baby steps, and then they'll become bigger and broader, and you'll start to love it, and you'll want to do it all the time.
No doubt. Yeah. Alrighty, well, I guess we could wrap up here, and I don't know, would you mind just giving out your email address if anyone out there might be interested in contacting
you? Sure, let me give that. So my name is Leslie Spoon, so it's Leslie, S as in Sam, Poone, at CFL, which is Cat Frank Lima for Central Florida, .rr.com.
Alright, awesome. We can definitely put that in the show notes as well, so people have that in text form.
All right. Thank you, Greg, so much for having me on. I'm so excited for you for having this podcast, and just so proud of you. You've come a long way. You know, I've known you for a little while now, and you've just so shown such potential, and you're growing in everything you do. So congrats on your growth and what you've done in your life.
Hey, that means a lot to me, Leslie. I appreciate you and Dan more than you know with your support and everything. So thank you so much.
Very cool.
Alrighty, thanks so much, Leslie. I appreciate you joining us. Be sure to follow the Eyes Free Sports podcast at facebook.com/eyesfreesports and on Twitter @eyesfreesports.